Are you excited?
For what?
For our first podcast back from our brief hiatus.
I didn't have any hiatus. I didn't even go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was good.
Yeah. That reminds me of that one time in Trolls where they were talking about the... what is it called?
Don't know. Don't watch it.
Sarcasm. And the one troll is like, I think I had one of those once.
Did? Yeah, I had one of those. I've just had an apostrophe. You mean an epiphany.
Okay. So.
We're back.
Yep.
We've been gone. We've been partying in the Caymans and in Italy and in Greece. We came back. We're coronavirus free. And now you're going to talk about something like that, aren't you?
Yeah, sort of.
Nice.
I guess.
Nice. Well, I'm confident in my immune system and my hiatus. So whenever you're ready.
Well, I'm sad that I didn't get to join you on all these trips because I was busy moving.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, this is our first podcast in our new house.
Nice. I just got back from Italy, so... I was looking for the tequila virus.
In Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay.
Tequila is everywhere.
So, for
Or wait, people... I could get some good mash whiskey from our friends at Mountain Mash?
Married Mash?
Married Mash. That's it. They're very close friends.
He tried really hard.
I did.
They sent us really cute little shot glasses.
They did.
That have their logo on them. They're really sweet.
I took them to Italy because the coronavirus won't grow on them.
For those of you that don't know, Married Mash is a husband and wife podcast, and they talk about alcohol, which is great. So,
I'm jealous.
Even if alcohol is not your thing, the podcast is still your thing.
I agree.
Okay. So... I guess. Oh, well, for those of you that don't know, this is Marriage is a Scream.
Oh.
And I'm Lauren.
It's been so long we forgot the introduction. I'm Lauren and she's Mike. Or wait, I'm Mike. My hiatus has me mixed up.
Yeah.
I got my MERS wixed.
Yeah. Okay. Also, so this episode is going to be on plague doctors, which is super exciting. And you might... learn a few tips to help you get through this whole coronavirus thing.
Drink tequila.
And you can also head over to Misery Machine because they've done a few episodes actually on the coronavirus. So if you guys want to know some more stuff, Misery Machine can fill you in.
Nice.
Okay, so before I can tell you about plague doctors, I obviously have to tell you about what led to plague doctors, and that would be the bubonic plague. So... the bubonic plague is one of three types of plague caused by the bacterium. I think it's Yersinia pestis.
So in keeping with our tradition, I have to ask a question.
Okay.
Why is it named the bubonic plague? What is the word bubonic?
Why do you do this to me? You do like, this every single time.
Stump the podcaster. Because I know inquiring minds inside of our audience are thinking to themselves, why is it the bubonic plague?
I don't think anyone's thinking that.
If you're thinking that, email us.
But I have some more information that could potentially be a reason why.
Was it like starting like Bubonaville or?
No.
Oh.
Okay. Can I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry that I'm so ill-informed on everything. Apparently, I don't actually know anything.
I could ask Dr. Google why the word bubonic.
Yeah, exactly. So stop asking me questions and just, you know. Listen and use your Google machine while you're listening.
And sit here and look pretty.
Yeah, that's your job.
Thanks. With my Italian tan.
Oh. Okay. So there's actually three types of the plague, of this particular plague that comes from the Yersinia pestis. So we have the bubonic, obviously. We have septicemic, and we also have pneumonic. It's spread by infected fleas from small animals, It can also result from exposure to the body fluids from a dead plague-infected animal.
So wait, I have a question.
What?
You're probably going to get into it. Are you going to tell me the difference between the pneumonic?
No, because we don't care about those things. Oh, we're just touching on the bubonic plague.
So we're not delving into the science of the plague.
A little bit, but we're mostly focused on the bubonic plague because we're talking about plague doctors. And plague doctors, well, I'll get into it. Okay. Just, you got to be patient.
I am.
You do this a lot.
I do.
So actually, as we were talking about dead plague-infected animals, when we first moved in, Michael was downstairs looking at the downstairs part of the house. And my parents and I were upstairs. And we went into one of the rooms, and there was just a dead bird laying on the floor. And me, I almost just picked it up with my bare hands because we had chickens and stuff and whatever and dead birds, blah. And my mom was basically like, no, don't touch that bird. You're going to get swine flu or the coronavirus. And made me pick it up with the tissue to throw it outside.
Swine flu from the bird. I'm out of evens. I just ran out. That was the last one.
So thanks to my mom for saving my life.
Right.
So the bacteria enter through the skin through a flea bite and travel via the lymphatic vessels to balls. Oh yeah. Okay. So they.
My balls.
Mother, can we just start over?
No, not all the way over. You can edit this section out. Just keep.
Yeah,
going.
I hear you. Okay.
I'm just concerned it was headed for my balls.
Actually, yes, buboes do form in the groin area. So
that you just said it, buboes form, so that's why it's the bubonic plague.
I don't know if that's why it's called that.
Well, it's gotta
but
be.
It could be. Okay.
I wouldn't try that again. Any of okay, this.
Shush.
Keep talking.
Yeah, I hear you. So bacteria enter through the skin through a flea bite and travel via the lymphatic vessels to a lymph node, causing it to swell.
Okay.
Diagnosis is made by finding the bacteria in the blood. I think it's called sputum.
That's your spit, sputum.
Mucus. Sputum is mucus or coughed up phlegm from the trachea and bronchi. Is it bronchi or bronchi?
It depends.
It's bronchi.
Yeah, it's plural.
From your lungs.
Yeah.
From your lymph node fluid. So let's go over some of these lovely symptoms. We have such nice symptoms.
I think I have them right now.
So, a fever of 102.2 degrees Fahrenheit or 39 degrees Celsius, headaches, vomiting, blood in your vomit, lenticuli, which are little black dots all over your skin, swollen lymph nodes, chills, malaise, muscle cramps, seizures, coma, and then obviously death. Death is a symptom.
I don't think that's a symptom. I think it's a result.
So you could also get buboes, which maybe that's why it's called the bubonic plague. I don't know. Buboes form, it's like this painful swelling that can form in the thighs, the neck, the groin, or the armpits. They may turn black and necrotic. Also, in the later stages of the bubonic plague, your fingers and toes and parts of your body, they were also dying and causing the skin around those areas to become necrotic as well.
Gross.
Yeah. It was.
So I'd imagine if it works fast enough, it beats gangrene. But, you know, when your extremities start to experience that, typically gangrene sets in and that's not much after that.
So the bubonic plague sets in 1 to 7 days after you come into contact with it. So you might not have symptoms for up to a week after you actually
contracted it.
Yeah. And one of the signs that they would notice of whether you were going to get past it or not was that the buboes in patients, if they went on for long enough, they would burst. And so, that was a telltale sign that the person was going to survive. So really? Doctors started draining. They obviously would drain the, they would go in and try to drain the buboes before there were antibiotics to fight it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, not everybody lived if this happened, because at this point, they're like just going in and taking it out. But that didn't always lead to it going away.
What was the mortality rate of this one?
I'll actually tell you that. I don't know percentages for then. I can tell you percentages for now. And I can just give you a ballpark number. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Yep.
So modern day treatments include streptomycin, gentamicin, and doxycycline. Prevention, don't handle dead animals in areas where plague is common. And I was actually when I first read this, I was going to say something about not handling dead animals, period. But told that story about the dead bird, so... vaccines have not been found to be useful in prevention.
So it's still an active...
Yeah, but not like, not like the flu or coronavirus.
Well, since it's not a plague, they don't call it the bubonic plague any longer. What do they call it?
It's still the bubonic. It's still that.
You got the bubos.
They don't call it anything else, yeah.
You got the bubos.
I don't think they call it the bubos.
Hey, bubos. Look. It's a pair of bubos.
You're a bubos.
I have been called a bubos.
So without antibiotics or treatment, plague results in the death of 30 to 90% of those infected. So even today, if you weren't treated for it, you have a pretty high chance of dying.
Well, there's plenty of illnesses out there that if you're not treated for, you have a high chance of dying.
If death does occur, it's typically within 10 days. So you get it? And then you're dead within 10 days.
So if you make it to day 12, you got it.
You're probably going to live.
Is there any side effects afterwards? I mean,
I don't think so. No, hopefully all of your side effects go away. Otherwise, you probably still have it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Like, you mean long-lasting, polio had long-lasting effects? Right. I don't know. Because I'm sure a lot of people don't...
Grow a prehensile tail.
I'm sure that now with treatments and stuff, it's kind of like the flu. You get it and then...
We treat it with...
If you let it go for long enough, then the necrosy will probably... You might lose some fingers or toes or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So with treatment, the risk of death is only 10%. There are 650 cases reported every year.
Jeez, so that's next to nothing. I mean,
yeah, in the grand scheme of things, and most of those people... Yeah. And most of those people probably push through it, right? The countries with the greatest number of cases are the Democratic Republic... Of the Congo, Madagascar, and Peru.
Makes sense.
So, just in case you wanted to know, between 2010 and 2015, there were 3,248 documented cases, and 584 of those resulted in death.
Wow. So, yeah. 500 out of 3,000. That's a pretty high mortality rate.
Yeah, but if you consider where it's most prevalent, those people probably don't have access to stuff. To antibiotics and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's greater than 10% mortality. That's pretty high.
So the first site of the bubonic plague was between 541 and 542 AD, and it was the plague of Justinian. So Justinian was, emperor in the Eastern Roman Empire? And he contracted the bubonic plague, and after they treated him... So, they were really on top of it because he pushed through it.
Well, he's the emperor.
Well,
care at that time.
Sure. It resulted in the deaths of 25 to 50 million people.
Holy buckets. That is a population reduction machine.
The historian...
That was an early version of Thanos.
You're obsessed with Thanos. I think you've mentioned Thanos several times in several of our episodes.
Snap it.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough. So the historian Procopius wrote in his work Secret History that Justinian was a demon of an emperor who either created the plague or was being punished for his sinfulness because he transferred the plague around through importing and exporting luxurious goods. So that's basically how the plague made it around. So it came from Eastern Asia.
But it hitchhiked inside of fleas, inside of ships animals, rats.
And it's because he was importing stuff for himself and exporting things to other places to make money.
Right.
So we see it again in the late Middle Ages, so 1340 to 1400. The Black Death swoops into Europe in 1347, killing one-third of the European human population. Historians believe this is when society became more violent. They claim that the mass mortality rate cheapened life, and this increased warfare, crime, revolts, waves of flagellants, and persecution.
Flatulence.
Very cute.
Well, flagellants. You know, as we're talking about this, I can't help but think about Mel Brooks and Monty Python movies. Monty Python movies, The Quest for the Holy Grail. Have you seen that? Bring out your dead. Yeah. But I'm not dead yet. Shut up and get in the cart. It was all about
plague. You will be.
Get in the cart. You're going to die.
The Black Death originated once again in Central Asia and spread from Italy. And
Damn, are you kidding me? Asia again?
Yeah, all of them are from Asia, pretty much. They all come from Asia.
I mean,
Asia.
Currently the coronavirus is rocking its way out of Asia through Italy. Yeah. When I was in Italy, it was just so difficult.
In this time, it spread from Asia to Italy and then throughout other European countries. So historians believe it originated in Mongolia in the early 1330s. We did have plague doctors now, but the infamous beak does not surface until 1619, and then it's used by most plague doctors until 1656. Oh, I mean, it's not used by most plague doctors until 1656.
So are you going to put pictures of the beak doctors up
there? I have already, okay, several times. So now let's move into the third pandemic, which we're not really going to talk that much about. We're mostly talking about the second one. The third pandemic occurred in the 19th century. Like our last two, this one also originated in Eastern Asia.
What is going on with that country? I thought we were just getting lead-based toys out of there, lead-painted toys.
I don't think we're going to have any Asian listeners. We're going to insult somebody. Stop.
I hope not. I don't mean to insult them, but good gravy.
The initial outbreaks occurred in the second half of the 18th century. It remained in southwest China for several years before spreading. It arrived in Canton in January of 1894 and had killed 80,000 people by June.
Jeez.
It soon spread to Hong Kong and killed over 2,400 people within 2 months. So it eventually spread. And you know, they used the plague in warfare too.
Oh, yeah.
They would throw the bodies of people who had the bubonic plague over walls to infect other places. It eventually spread to port cities throughout the world in the second half of the 19th century and early 20th century via shipping routes. Chinatown and San Fran from 1900 to 1904, Oakland and East Bay, 1907 to 1909. The last major outbreak in the U.S. occurred in L.A. in 1924. In 1994, a plague outbreak resulted in a large migration of Indians within India as they tried to avoid the plague.
Huh.
So there's that for you.
Just made me think of the phrase, I'd avoid that like the plague.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
Kind of literal.
So let's move on to our plague doctors, which is what this episode's all about.
Oh.
So obviously they specialized in care for those infected by the plague, the bubonic plague, the Black Death. They were hired by villages, which is very important because, you know, normally they say that the person who's willing to spend the most amount of money gets the best treatment. Well, these villages were paying for these doctors to come, not individual people.
So they pooled all their money. Right.
Everyone was treated, and everyone was treated equally because the village was paying for it, not the individual people.
Well, the individual people had to put the money into the coffers.
I will say that some people did pay them privately as well to potentially get better treatment. So, like, let's just say a plague doctor goes to somebody's house. The village has already paid them. And these people are like, hey, if you do this, you know, we'll give you an extra...
give you an extra 500 bones.
Yeah. You know. So some were not even real doctors. So they didn't have enough doctors after a while to take care of all these people. So they, like, I think that there is actually a case of somebody who literally just worked at a fruit stand. And they became a plague doctor.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's entrepreneurial.
But I mean, consider...
did he wear the beak? He probably just liked the mask.
No, I don't know. So I will say that people didn't want this job because a lot of them died.
Well, yeah.
You know, so most of them, a lot of them died or they fled completely because they didn't want to deal with it. So they had like a ton of jobs too. So they didn't just care for the sick, but they got rid of corpses and did autopsies. And in some cases, the autopsies were done publicly, which normally wasn't a thing.
So imagine at that time they didn't have the latex gloves and stuff like we have now. So they're doing the autopsy and they're in the fluids.
Blah, gross. So there are some pretty cool treatments that they did. I'm just going to touch on some basic ones right now. And then later on, I'll get more into detail about some of the really sick stuff they did. Okay, so some treatments were obviously bloodletting. That was really popular, right? Leeches, toads. So they placed the leeches and toads on the buboes to balance the humors.
There's so many places I want to run with that right now. I'm going to try to be good. But
so,
buboes and humors.
I hear you. So humors were basically a theory. So there's this theory that the body has four bodily fluids. Blood, yellow bile, phlegm, and black bile.
Okay.
Black bile was probably blood composites in patients with bleeding organs.
I thought it would have been poop.
No. Sorry. That's not really
That's bile.
A liquid in most cases. Sometimes, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, if you've had the wrong Chinese food, it's a liquid.
So obviously none of these treatments were effective.
Yeah.
So, a very famous plague doctor was Nostradamus.
No way.
Yeah. So his advice, actually.
No wonder at the end of his life, he became a recluse and wrote quatrains and did LSD so he could see the future. He's like, that's enough is enough.
So his advice for dealing with the plague was removing infected corpses, which is sound. That's a sound thing that you should do. You don't want to hang out with diseased bodies. Getting fresh air, drinking clean water, drinking a juice made from rose hips. And he said you should not bleed the patient.
Oh.
He said, no, we're not doing this. This is not what we're doing. Absolutely no.
No.
So it eventually... Oh, sorry. So they were not permitted to interact with the general public. And they could also be subject to quarantine.
The doctors?
Yes.
What do you mean they were not permitted to interact with the general public?
They couldn't because they were around so many sick people and they didn't want them passing the sickness.
Were people quarantined to specific areas?
Probably. I mean, how can you really monitor that? There's... Right. But they... Normally, regular people wouldn't hang out with them.
Oh.
So. You know. It's a pretty lonely life because... They were only allowed to interact really with the sick people and the sick people's family. So
you're bringing Jimmy to the barbecue? Nah, he's a plague doctor now. He can't come.
So the plague doctor costume was invented by, I'm going to butcher this guy's name
well,
so hard.
Was it a costume or a uniform?
It was a costume pretty much. But I'm sure it became a uniform. It was invented by Charles de Lorme in 1630. Although some sources say it was 1619. Most sources I read said 1619. So it consisted of a light waxed fabric. I think it was normally goat's skin.
Oh.
It was an overcoat and then a mask with glass eye openings and a beak-shaped nose. The nose was normally stuffed with herbs, spices, and flowers. They would also normally carry a cane so they could examine and direct patients without having to touch them. They also would use them if the family got kind of crazy or if the patient, like, tried to get physical.
Give them a whack.
Yeah. You got to protect yourself, right? And yeah. You don't want to touch these people and their diseased bodies.
Doctors carried a big stick.
They believed the suit would protect them from miasma. Miasma.
It's either your asthma or your asthma, but it's something. The plague doctors need protected from miasma.
You're so the worst.
I'm sorry.
So
we're clear. I don't want protected from your asthma.
I have to delete that out now, you sicko. Our families listen to this.
That's true.
Your daughters listen to this.
Shh. Don't make it weird.
You made it weird by saying that. Sicko. You're literally the worst. Oh my gosh. I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Don't edit it.
Editing.
Let it go.
Miasma was a theory that hell diseases such as cholera, chlamydia, black death were caused by bad air or night air. They thought the disease came from rotting organic matter that could be breathed in.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a good theory.
There's some science behind airborne bacteria, you know, viruses.
So, some of the other mask fillings for in
the beak.
In the beaks. Laudanum.
Okay.
Of course. Of course. That's our favorite drug, right? Laudanum. Camphor. Cloves and mint. They also put like roses and stuff like that in there too. Cinnamon, etc., etc. Anything so that they wouldn't have to breathe in that dirty air.
Well, laudanum, they wouldn't care what they were breathing.
What's your name again?
Quit hitting me with the cane. I'm protecting myself from your asthma.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the sicker a person got, the worse the treatment was for them.
Oh, nice.
So, some treatments for very sick people. So, probably, like, by day five, they're, like, kind of freaking out. So, they're like, you know, we have to do something.
We got to escalate the treatment.
We have to figure out what's going on and stop this.
Cut off their hands.
So, you know what we should do? We should make them drink their own urine.
Okay, then.
They also made them take medicines made from eggshells, marigolds, and treacle. Do you know what treacle is?
I saw the water treacling down the front window.
Oh, jeez. This feels very, like, blue-collar comedy tour.
I'm on fire.
Treacle is like molasses.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. They would rub them down with onion, garlic, butter, arsenic.
Minus the arsenic, they almost sound like a cheesesteak sandwich.
Or flower petal compounds. So, yeah, you're already dying, so let's see if arsenic will do the trick.
Yeah.
They would rub animal parts on their bodies.
Which particular parts?
Of the animal?
Mm-hmm.
Or of their bodies.
All of the above, I guess. That's weird.
So normally the animals that were used were frogs, snakes, and pigeons. So could you just imagine being one of these animals and just being scooped up and being rubbed all over a human's body?
At like, first, it's like,
going on?
Yo, homie, man. Yeah, you're... Whoa, this is not petting me. This is not petting me.
So Bubos, after being laced...
Lanced.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That word.
No, I like Bubos and lace.
Oh my gosh. This is the worst. So after they were being lanced, they were rubbed. They were rubbed with a mix of tree sap. This is so terrible. Our first podcast back, and this is what we're gonna do.
We're gonna rub Bubos.
We're not ready.
Lace wrapped Bubos. Rub them.
So they would rub them down with a mix.
Yes, they would.
I'm so done. This is the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I need a break.
Can we do a bra commercial?
Okay, that's enough for you.
Okay.
So, after being lanced, They rubbed a mix of tree sap, flower petals, and human excrement into them.
Ruining the boo-boos.
I'm just confused as to why you think that it's a good idea to rub human excrement into a person who's already dying.
So let me be medical.
Was it their own excrement?
So listen, we know you've got a bad disease. I need you to drink your own pee. I'm going to rub you down in some poop. Let me know if you feel better. It'd be like, just kill me.
I'm basically already dead anyways. Yeah. This is just like, once again, this is just like the last ditch effort.
Like, who thought that was a good idea at all? What do you want to do? I don't know, try poop.
Well, it comes from the human body, so maybe if we rub healthy person poop into it, it'll fix them.
I'm going to go with no.
Okay. So as the person got closer to death, they would be coated in mercury and baked in an oven.
What?
Yeah. Maybe they thought that they could, like, you know,
that's one big ass
kill easy off bake the oven. Kill off the bacteria by
so heating it up. Mercury is absorbed through your skin. Mercury.
So if you weren't dying from the plague, you were gonna die from the mercury.
OD on mercury.
So that's diarrhea,
a bunch of heavy metals.
Diarrhea would be induced to naturally drive the evil out, because you know what?
Everything bad comes at your butthole.
Listen, guys. Here. Bad things happen because God is dissatisfied. So, hey. Let's all participate in some self-flagellation.
That's just insane.
Okay. So, let's atone for our sins by whipping ourselves to make God happy.
Okay.
Okay. And you know what? Some of us can't do that because we're weak and we're sick and we're dying. So let's have the plague doctors whip us too. Maybe God will have mercy on our souls.
So you gotta wonder if 1,000 years from now, so long as, well, we'll still be here. The planet will not have melted or whatever. So 1,000 years from now, when they look back at how we treated things medically, I gotta believe they're gonna look at it and go, what was wrong with those people?
They look at it like, we look at it like that now, though.
Yeah.
Like, just consider.
No, I mean, they look at us. In other words, 1,000 years
from now. Oh, you mean like about stuff that we do now?
Yeah, that we think is
totally
so advanced.
You know? Totally, yeah. Well, they probably thought that this was advanced, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All these people are like, yeah, I'll totally rub poop into my wounds.
Well, like, you're just using chapstick. 1,000 years from now, they might look back at chapsticks like, oh my gosh, can you breathe?
Actually, you have to be really careful because some chapsticks legit have ingredients in them that make your lips even drier, so you have to keep buying more.
But I'm just saying, 1,000 years from now, they might look at chapstick, that material, and say, oh my god,
this is
who would put that
dumb
in their bodies?
Now we just go into this thing and we spray our face with it and then it's all fixed.
From a bee's butt.
No, it doesn't.
Beeswax.
What's wrong with you? Oh my gosh. So Christians even blamed the Jews.
Of course.
Naturally. Scapegoat.
Gotta blame somebody.
The Pope issued a statement falsifying this. He's like, no. This is not true. This is wrong. But people were like, we listen to you for everything else, but not for this, buddy. The Jews, it's definitely the Jews.
Oh, jeez.
The Pope even surrounds himself in flames. Like, he surrounds himself and never gets it. And he thinks that it's because the flames warded off the evil spirits. When, in fact, the heat probably just
killed the virus
from even getting near him.
How do you go to the bathroom? And who came and cleaned up the flamey circle?
So, how effective do you think the plague costume was in reality?
Zero, because it wasn't necessarily an inhaled.
Well, you know, they had gloves on. They
had
what? So in
made of what?
I don't know.
If it's anything that's absorbent, the glove means nothing.
Well, remember, they're wax coated.
Okay,
so they're not going to really absorb anything. Underneath of their clothes, they were even wearing like this thing that connected to their socks. So it was like kind of just one piece of clothing.
A giant onesie.
Yeah, kind of like a man onesie. Because women couldn't be plague doctors. Because women weren't smart enough to be doctors, I guess.
They were smart enough not to
honestly,
be.
Honestly, women would have had this shit figured out. Let's get real.
I guarantee you they wouldn't rub poop on nobody.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a dumb idea. Why are you doing that?
And they'd have been like, quit rubbing the boobos.
Well, just consider the guy who thought that up probably worked at the fruit stand.
Yeah, right.
It's a great idea.
He just wanted to rub boobos.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm sure that the mask helped with that because I'm sure popping that open was so stinky. I'm sure that these people did not smell very good because they're vomiting all over the place. They have diarrhea now.
So is there a statistic that talks about how effective the...
It probably wasn't very effective at all. Although the person, the man who like invented it, lived to be like in his 90s.
Was he a plague doctor?
Yeah, he was.
You know, I saw a special one time that talks about how it's true that certain people...
Yeah, are just immune to certain things. And I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if the plague doctors that did survive were just immune to it, you know?
I am a fan of Darwinism, survival of the fittest.
So no one actually knows how effective the costume really was, but it probably wasn't that effective.
Probably scared the piss out of people.
Yeah, it actually was used later in theater productions.
Oh.
And it's probably used now in like horror movies and shit, because it's so scary.
Yeah, well, if you saw scary bird man. Door, you'd be like,
could you imagine being a little kid and having this giant man come in with his bird beak and then telling you to rub pigeons on your body?
And poop? And drink your pee.
And you're like,
no.
My mom told me not to do those things. Right. I did that once and I got yelled at. Right. And then I got the plague.
I'm not allowed to play with my poop.
I played with my poop once. I got the plague. Okay. That's what I got for you. That's all I got.
At the end of our episode?
That's all I got for you.
No way.
Our first episode back. And I give you guys nothing.
That was kind of fun. I just learned about rubbing buboses in lace.
Yeah, bubos is good.
Yeah.
You love bubos now.
Oh, yeah.
But in reality, let's get real. Bubos were disgusting. They were like big, giant sores near your groin.
I was good with big, giant until you went to the sores.
Shut up! Or in your armpit. Or like just in like on your neck and stuff. And then it's like huge and it gets necrotic, so it starts turning black and stuff, and then it just like, you know, and just imagine they're like popping it open and all this pus like and Dr. grossness Pimple is Popper. Oozing out. No, like way worse than Dr. Pimple Popper, although some of those people need serious help.
You should look on the internet and see if there's Bubos Popper.
Oh, I hope not. That's disgusting. It's okay though, because they're just gonna rub poop into it when they're done.
Ew, gross.
It's fine. So as if it didn't smell bad enough already, so now we're going to rub poop into it.
I'll be interested to see how, as the coronavirus spreads, and you know, when I left Italy on this hiatus.
Oh, geez. Just so you guys know, Michael never went to Italy, so.
In my brain.
It's a lie.
I was astral projecting.
You're so extra.
Okay, a little.
You want to share anything else?
No, the CDC is probably going to come here and yell at us anyway.
I hope.
For downplaying the plague.
I think I downplayed anything. Guys, be careful. Wash your hands. Stay home if you're sick. Don't go to work. Don't go to crazy places if you're sick.
Don't drink your pee if you're sick.
Don't rub poop in anything.
Should be good.
You know? And
I'm gonna get
if you do
take some vitamin C.
If you do get sick, you know, don't hang out with other people. And you know,
that's rude anyway.
Hanging out with other people?
Yeah, when you're sick, then you spread it to people who really didn't want it.
Don't hang out with other people if you're sick. And I don't know, find a plague doctor.
All right, so that concludes it, right? We're back, and we're going to do another episode with next week.
Yep, so get excited.
Nice.
I know Michael's excited.
Well, since we did bubos and we did miasma, not mine, but somebody else's, I can't wait to see what comes up next week.
Dirty air. Don't breathe any dirty air, you guys.
I'm a dirty man.
Why? I have to delete so many things from this episode. I shouldn't have to censor you. You're a grown man.
That's why you censor me.
Yeah, he's basically 12.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right, see you guys.
We'll see you guys next week.